Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain. We're looking at about a 4-hour flight time today. We've got clear skies, good visibility. Flight attendants, please prepare for takeoff.
Afternoons on the Horn with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
You guys both look like you might want to hit me in the face.
Alex Okafor joining us here on the Horn. I saw a quote that when AP came in, I guess for OTAs, that there was just so much talk about, you know, Peterson. You can hear this guy. You can hear his feet. How big of a freak is he in person?
The first time I met him and I introduced myself to him and shook his hand, he squeezed my hand so hard that it got to the point where it was almost disrespectful.
Chad and Kevin.
Brothers don't shake hands. Brothers gotta hug.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talk Sports.
Afternoon delight.
You're damn right. Let's go hour number one on a Friday. Kevin Dunn is here. I'm Chad Hastings. Trey Elling producing, getting you the great intros. Going like flat out bluesy today.
You recognize the guitar?
The guitar?
This is obscure. I'd never heard of this combination before a few minutes ago.
Buddy Guy is my only guess.
Close. This is Luam Barton, who received a guitar boost from Stevie Ray Vaughan back in the late
70s. Stevie! Oh, my bad, Stevie.
That's what I heard.
You're the man? That's my bad? My bad?
No, I only had like two options, so makes it easy for me.
I heard a song with a Stevie guitar part in it that not a lot of people knew about. I didn't know about it until just a couple years ago. Let's Dance by David Bowie.
That would have been my guess, yeah.
That's Stevie Ray Vaughan. I never realized that.
Didn't know that.
Went and saw Nile Rodgers and Chic in concert, and you realize Nile Rodgers pretty much produced every song you love, and then he tells this big story about being buddies with David Bowie and loving Stevie Ray Vaughan. I'm like, all right, there you go. Hope you're having a great Friday. We got baseball to watch in Omaha today. If you're like me and you just glance at the TV, no, the Baltimore Orioles are not playing in Omaha, but Oregon State is rocking kind of that Orioles vibe on the helmet.
Good call.
And I haven't seen them in the field yet, but at least on the helmet they have it. And especially nowadays, since the Orioles have gone back to that old logo that we all grew up with, that Cal Ripken and those Orioles wore back in the day.
So, Eddie Murray.
That's right. Murray was rocking that out. So Oregon State and LSU underway. It is simple. We're to the point now where somebody's got to beat a good team twice. LSU has to beat Oregon State twice today, and then they would play the next game tomorrow to advance to Monday's championship round.
It's schedule kind of weird, right?
It's a little weird, but like we said, they're given more
two
time
games
off.
Today.
Two games today of the same variety, and then if you need them, those other two games would be tomorrow.
Okay.
They used to make you play the two games in the same day.
Mm-hmm.
They used to give an extra advantage to that good
They've
team.
Changed it.
Right. The good team used to get a little extra advantage by saying, you know what? If you lose to them, if you beat them today, congratulations. Now you got to beat them tonight.
Right.
But they're spreading it out. So like we've talked about, there's plenty of advantages if you win your games in Omaha, but they have figured out a way to make the loser's bracket a little easier to deal with if you can just not go to and barbecue. Obviously, if you do that, they don't care. Then you go home. But if you can get one win in your first two, then things can be all right. If you missed it last night, TCU won a close one, 4-3. Survival.
Yeah, they were up, 4-1, I guess, whenever I got home, and Louisville was kind of fighting back, and it felt tight. Got to give Louisville a lot of credit. They didn't play their best ball at the end there, and that's kind of happened with them, but at least they got there, and they were a tough out. But like I said, TCU's a tough out, too. Now you got to go beat Florida, and I think that's more doable than beating Oregon State twice. But LSU's up 2-0 right now. Bottom three, big opportunity for Oregon State, as the bases are loaded, two outs, and they're facing future Cub Alex Lang, who is a first or second round pick, but he's a big right hander for LSU. This is LSU's best chance, and this is a matchup that when I saw this with Oregon State Vanderbilt and the Supers, I thought if these two teams match up and play a couple games, it's going to be fun and high level, and it has been.
Yeah, and it does look like we could be headed to a great championship round if we get Oregon State and Florida, but even these other two teams playing pretty well. The purple teams that are trying to stay alive
are there you go.
Looking pretty good too, LSU and TCU. We'll keep you up to date on what's going on in Omaha. I don't know any kid that doesn't love a good parade. Did you watch the children's parade last night?
No.
You didn't see it? A lot of kids in suits.
Oh,
hanging out with Uncle
Adam. Yeah, I did.
It was such a sweet event. I really enjoyed that. Uh-huh. They took a class picture at the beginning. They were parading around with shoes.
So seriously, what'd you take out of it?
When there were 59 picks made and they had one to go, Reese Davis turned to Jalen Rose and said, "What is the sticking?" I wrote down the quote so I'd make sure I got it right. "What is the sticking moment?" Is that what he said? "The sticking memory from this draft." And Jalen's answer was Minnesota getting Jimmy Butler. And I thought, now that's a statement on the draft. We've had 59 picks, and that's what jumped out to him.
I mean, Lonzo Ball, though, anything? I mean, because I think Ball to the Lakers, there's a couple of things. You go, okay. And a couple guys, you go, what could the ceiling be?
Right, I would have thought, too. And a couple of the other guys did that. Jay Billis talked about the overall youth at the early part of the draft, and he talked about Lonzo Ball. I was glad to see it. I was glad to see Ball go to the Lakers. I think that'll bring some interest there.
Jared Allen to Brooklyn.
Jared Allen ends up in Brooklyn. Congrats to Jared Allen. The records were all over the place. 16 freshmen in the first round. That definitely stood out.
They did address it, too. I'll give it to them.
They did. They
so,
talked about
I mean,
it.
You know, it's there and they're talking about it. And I think that's the first step. I really do.
Yeah, I said that I kind of got what I was looking for. I said I thought that Michael Wilbon could have been a guy to make a statement, make a comment.
You were right.
And he ended up kind of being the first guy. They asked him after it was freshman, about five or six picks in. They said, "Michael, what does this tell you?" And he said, "It signals the end of this process." And I thought,
yeah.
Huh, okay. And then he went on to say, Adam Silver has said it doesn't work. And he was talking like his idea of where it's headed is it's going to go to, if you go to college, you got to stay 2 years, but they're going to let you go from high school.
Yeah, I mean, the key is, and like I said, if you just want to get rid of college basketball, that's fine, or kind of what we knew of it at a high level. But the key is obviously to make sure that the NBA can have more of a separation like football and baseball do between 18, 19, and really playing at the highest level. So even if they're getting paid, and I've said for years that I'm for paying athletes. I mean, a lot of these guys are paid under the table through lawyers. So that's another thing that's not, you know, brought up. Mm-hmm. But I would be for paying them and definitely giving them money for video games and for jerseys and stuff like that. But that discussion has been going on for a long time. And I'm not sure that choking out one of the college sports is the way to get that expedited.
Well, and aren't we, and maybe I'm just missing the story.
We're not going to talk about this all day, are we?
No.
Okay.
But there are discussions that have been had about paying the guys in college, like the whole whether it's cost of attendance or whatever. Isn't that a thing? Isn't that going to happen at some point? Like, they're on the way to doing that, right?
Yeah, but I mean, I think there's a legitimate argument about really, you know, giving them more of the pie.
More of what they're helping generate.
Yes.
And I'm all for that, too.
I mean, you and I have been like that forever, but we also can separate that and if something's going wrong. But, you know, some of the good things last night, Minnesota's got to be really happy. I mean, and Chicago just continues to be Chicago.
Yeah, what in the world? I definitely wanted you to comment on that. You grew up watching the Bulls and loving what they became. Michael Jordan, Phil Jackson, Scottie Pippen helped to make the Bulls into one of the big dog teams when we were growing up watching the NBA.
Yeah.
Turned him into a pretty big deal.
But for the first 5-6 years, I was just thinking that it was kind of like the Cubs. Because that was also, I mean, you got to remember how Chicagoans looked at the Bulls and Bulls fans thought about themselves before any of that started. So
before the ELO shot.
So it was actually great to be a part of that and then see it and then get to the end. And now you just think, man, what are you doing, you know?
I mean, last night to me felt like a weird crossroads moment for the Chicago Bulls because now it's like you get rid of, you moved one of the, I don't know, what, 20 best players in the league?
Oh, I think he's better than that.
Something like that?
Yeah.
I heard last night people saying that maybe top 15, maybe it's even better than that. I love watching Jimmy Butler play. You let him go.
They never respected him.
And what you got back was bizarre. The kid from Arizona, the Markkanen three-point threat at 7 feet.
Right. Levine, who's just a dunker if he's healthy.
And he's the one that's banged up, right?
The knee, I think, right?
Yeah, he had a pretty serious injury. And then the other, Chris Dunn.
Providence, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I wasn't blown away.
Average at best in his first year.
I wasn't blown away at all.
Yeah, just weird. That's a weird deal. Yeah, Jimmy Butler in Minnesota. But then on the Minnesota perspective, you know what? If you tell me that...
I think it's a good move.
If you tell me that Karl Anthony Towns and Wiggins and Jimmy Butler are on my TV tonight playing I almost don't care who.
Right.
I think I'm going to check it out.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah, I like it from Minnesota. And Tom Thibodeau's the coach.
Yeah, so the Butler thing made sense there.
And they, yeah, so they
when
know
I saw
each
it,
other.
I was like, okay, I get it.
Boy, yeah, that's got to be Chicago sports radio today around the Bulls has to be madness.
Trey is so glad he didn't have that job today.
Wow. Yeah, that's got to be wild.
Between that and the Blackhawks trades that went down today, it's a bad day for Chicago sports radio.
What were they thinking?
Well, that's right. Is today the NHL draft?
Tonight is the NHL draft. The Blackhawks are constantly having to create more cap space at the start of off seasons because they pay Taves and Kane so much money. So today they brought back somebody who is a fan favorite from a couple years ago. He was instrumental in two of the Blackhawks Stanley Cup runs. Brandon Saad. They had to give up a really good player in return, but they also dumped Nicholas Hjalmarsson, who is the unsung hero amongst defensemen. Shot blocker extraordinaire. Quite frankly,
he's
the first or second
that.
Best defenseman on the last couple of Stanley Cup teams. They traded him to Phoenix, unfortunately.
Wow. See, there you go. Hockey guy, if you're out there, did you hear that?
Boom.
Did you hear that breakdown?
Boom.
That's big time. It is the horn.
Moving on.
That's the hockey community service quota that we have to fill here in Austin for the entire decade.
Good work, Hoser. Somewhere Rick Sacamano is yelling and screaming, talk about hockey more. 104.9 AM 1260.
And he's just by himself, not even listening.
Correct, yeah. HornFM.com. He yells that all day.
Right.
He doesn't even have to be listening to this station or the show or anything else. We'll get you a little more on the NBA draft in terms of the Texas teams coming up. Some of the other stuff that jumped out to me, we've talked about it before the draft, but when you have this quality in the sport and you're going to be confusing during your draft with all these trades, man, I get lost.
They really do need to fix it. Well, here's the problem is that, I mean, Adam Silver has to know that ESPN has already put this on the screen
right
10 minutes ago.
Why is he reporting stuff 15 minutes after?
Oh, we have a trade. Yeah, I know. We've known for 15 minutes.
How about when they came on to do that with the Lakers trade we'd heard about, a day before, 2 days before?
Right. The only good thing now is that they're not telling the kids they've been traded like they used to. Remember that? Sometimes they would deliver. You do know you're going to Golden State. What? I didn't know that. Now all that is done way before. I mean, I would think. I don't know. I didn't watch every single pick.
Well, you're saying you thought the kids didn't know when they put the hat on, or they did know?
No. They used to not. Sometimes they wouldn't know until the interview. And that's when it would
right.
be.
No, that sucks.
Oh,
you're right. You're right.
Whoa. I didn't need to watch that.
The good news last night was I heard one reporter that was down on the floor or whatever. He was saying, like, while he was telling the ESPN viewers, the player could literally hear him.
Mm-hmm.
And so the player was like, oh, okay, like I'm going to end up in Phoenix or whatever it was.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm with you there. I hate the fact that they're wearing a hat that they're going to have to hand back to somebody, but at least then if they know.
Yeah.
Like, it's like we always talk about, right, with injuries or something, like injuries or a guy's leaving the school. You'd like for the family to find out first, if you could.
Of course.
Yeah, if you could do that, that'd be great. Guy rips his knee up, his mom should find out before I do.
Yeah.
In general.
Right.
Unless he and I are best friends.
Well, no. I mean, if she's on a trip in Italy, then
you
get in touch with her.
Then okay, I could find out first. Right. In that case, then I could find out first.
Why didn't she at the game? They got a deal.
You're right. Also, what else jumped out at me last night? I thought you'd enjoy this since you've also broadcast this.
The Danny Ainge thing? Can we get to that?
Absolutely. Oh, my God. Danny Ainge, and the third pick ends up being Jason Tatum, which I'm kind of excited about.
That's the only guy that I saw drafted where I thought of you.
Because he's a real team.
All right, you like him.
And I hate the Celtics, but at least he's on a real team, and they pick him, and we find out later that Josh Jackson of Kansas had scheduled with the Celtics a workout, and it got canceled. I'm not telling you he canceled it the day before, or 2 days before, or a week before. Ainge, the president, or the GM, and maybe the coach got on a plane and were flying to the kid.
They waited until they got on the plane,
they
too.
Were in I the mean, air.
Come on.
And so Ainge afterwards admitted, look, I know I'm the adult here and he's the kid, but yeah, I was a little pissed off.
Yeah, his line was pretty funny. So what'd you do in Sacramento? There's nothing to do there.
Yeah,
right. I did nothing. Have you been there?
Nothing in Sacramento. So, in the end, can you blame Danny Ainge for taking Tatum?
No.
Right?
No, I can't, but it seems like a power move to not go to Boston.
Yeah, it's another. This is another thing you talk about, power of the kids, right? The kids.
Oh, yeah.
The kids and their agents have so much power here that.
We've seen that in other sports, though, with quarterbacks.
That's true. Yeah.
Elway, Manning.
It had a. Right. It had an Eli and Elway kind of feel to it. So I guess he just decided he didn't want to go to Boston. But obviously, in hindsight, he's going to need to let Danny Ainge and the Celtics know at some point, yo, man, my bad on that. I am sorry I got you in the air before I canceled.
And he goes to Phoenix. Now, Phoenix, before last night, they had 8 of their guys were 24 or younger on the roster.
Jeez.
I know, and including a couple 19-year-olds. But so you add Jackson. Now, did they lose Booker, or is he still there?
Oh, good God. I think he's still there.
Okay.
I think. He's still there.
But they're
again,
just,
I can't
I mean,
keep
talk,
up with all the trades sometimes.
Yeah. Talk about young.
Oh, God. Yeah. It's amazing. I realized last
Sacramento had a weird draft.
I realized last night I need to go around the NBA rosters and just count 30-year-old players.
Oh, no.
To see how many there are.
I went through it this year. I went through every one, and I looked at all the ages, and it just blew me. It blew me away, but it kind of reminded me of why I'm seeing some stuff. So,
yeah.
Phoenix is going to be – Phoenix will be young as hell, and I wish I could have seen Jackson a couple more years. I do think Jackson has a potential to be really good wing.
Yeah.
He's a gym rat, which is a good thing.
He does, and I think there's a chance there. That's a team that feels very much away from my television right now. I don't know how that team gets back to my TV. I'm with you, though. I would like to see him and how he develops. I'd love to see Fox. Didn't Sacramento get Fox?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Everybody's talking about Sacramento.
Yeah, Fox and Mason.
Fox and Mason.
And Jackson, too.
Everybody's giving them love for the players they took, and people are actually begrudgingly saying, you know, I think Sacramento had a pretty good trade. I just think that's the goodbye team. I really do. Until they prove me wrong, I think they're the forgotten basketball team, and those poor guys... I'm never going to watch them play. I mean, I want to. I like them. What I do like...
No, you don't.
I like the idea...
Do you really want to watch them?
Well, if they could... If
they started playing?
Yeah, they got some chemistry and started going, but I don't know how that's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to build. So I feel like those guys are kind of gone now. But, you know, like, hey, if it's going to be for the kids, good for them, good for their parents, good for their families. It is all about them. So glad they get the money and they got the cool suits and everybody's throwing stuff on the inside lining of the jacket. That's a big deal now. It ain't just one guy, Kevin. Everybody's got inside jacket lining messages and billboards and shoes made out of stuff.
I did see a mock draft today for 2018, and Bamba was going 4 and Andrew Jones is going 17.
Wow.
So hopefully we'll see that production on the court.
Bamba at 4 already. Man.
Yeah,
man.
I think they're in love with his wingspan.
Yeah.
Bring it here and use it.
There's a lot of wingspan talk last night, obviously, with the draft. One of the other things that jumped out to me was...
Wingspan drinking game?
The wingspan drinking game with
Billis.
With Billis that's been
good.
Around for years. That's always good. When he the one thing I like about Billis is him embracing a lot of things on social media like that,
mm-hmm.
being a little cooler than the average, you know, reporter or whatever. The fascination for me with him is he really loves the conversation about paying players.
No,
in college.
That's his biggest thing.
He can see that.
Which I'm fine with that.
Oh yeah. He sees that side of it and talks about it and brings it up, and I love that part. It's the looking towards the NBA part that I feel like he misses on, and where I really wish he could get involved in that part of the conversation.
Oh, man.
And somebody ask, hey, Jay, what would it be like if we made them go 3 years? Let's try to fix college and pro basketball at the same time. Tell me what you think a 21 rule or a 3-year rule would do. Even a 2-year rule. Let's discuss that part of it. I feel like he could really help that conversation. Nobody seems to want to have it, but like you said, bravo to them for having it a little bit. They did have it a couple times.
Yeah.
So that part was good.
What else do you have?
When Josh Jackson was drafted, the third note on the screen was also can play the saxophone. So Josh Jackson apparently is going to be involved in the Little League World Series this year. So you've broadcast that event. I know you'd be excited to know that. That's pretty, but that really tells you that you don't really have a full body of work if you're telling me that the kid can play the saxophone. And I'm not saying this is an hour after. The moment he's drafted.
That's kind of cool, right?
You let me know he can play the saxophone?
They had a nugget for everyone. Did you notice that, though?
Oh, yeah, they did.
I guess, was it Fox or Monk likes to hunt?
Monk hunts squirrels. Okay. I guess, right? Okay.
In muds.
Yeah, right.
No, but I mean, I see what you're saying. There's not, you know, how many Elite Eights and a bigger body of work?
Yeah, and I know.
Which is the whole point.
And when I talk about
these
things.
I think we've hammered that down enough.
Yeah, I know it doesn't make any sense because I am the person who does the crap bag every day and I like a lot of silly things about sports. I just think there's time when that's not required.
Right.
That's not the important part. This is the NBA draft and they've turned it into the Little League World Series right out of the block, and that just frustrated me. It's like, oh my God, you know, I think his favorite color is purple. Oh, good. That's fantastic.
It's not that far off age-wise.
Thanks, Reese David. You're right. I think Danny Amonte was like...
Danny Amonte was a couple months away.
Danny Amonte was like 6 months younger than De'Aaron Fox.
We're talking 6 years, though.
Good grief. All right, coming up, we'll get you the big three. And speaking of the crap bag, no crap bag in the 3 o'clock hour because...
What?
We're going to talk some NBA. Mitch Lawrence of Sporting News, Forbes Magazine, Sirius XM. We've had him on before. Mitch is going to jump in, and 3:30 was available for him, so I'll gladly move the crap bag for Mitch so we can talk about the crap of the NBA draft last night. That's coming up after your big three. We'll update you on LSU and Oregon State. The Beavers have struck for a run. It's 2-1 LSU in the top of the fourth, and the Tigers are trying to add more.
Yeah, Jake is struggling. He's an All-American right-hander, but... Boy, they don't miss him, but just having Heimlich, you can only imagine.
Yep. Now it's going to start to show.
Yeah, it could.
It could start to show.
I mean, they've got tons of arms, and they're healthy, but where it could really show is if they have to play an extra game, and if they win that, then in the championship series.
Right. Yep. Down to the Final Four in Omaha. We'll keep you up to date on that one. Hope you're having a great Friday. This is The Horn.
I've been spinning in circles. Stuck in a state of contemplate by the time that you
Friday with Chad and Kevin. Hope you're having a good one. Remember, check out hornfm.com. We've streamlined our podcasting process, so you should have less trouble finding Bucky and Aaron, finding Midday with Trey and BK, finding Orange Bloods Radio, and finding our show. So if you miss those, check them out. We appreciate all of you that go back and listen to the shows and grab them. It might be the next day. I don't know how everybody's system works, but we get to see those numbers of people checking it out. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I couldn't find it the other day. I was looking for it.
Yeah, should be easier to find now.
Okay.
Should be easier to find. Let me know if you don't.
I know.
Trey, new music today on a Friday?
Yeah, this band has a sound all its own. Even though I'm not necessarily the biggest fan in terms of listening to their albums, I have a ton of respect from having seen them on numerous occasions, and they put on a great show. 311 with a new album out today.
311! Nice. There's another band that I like some tracks. I've just never heard a lot of 311. I need to check that out a little bit more.
And we talked about them when you were gone. I saw them live.
Did you?
Yeah.
You saw them live while I was gone, or you saw them live way back in the day?
We talked about it while you were gone.
Gotcha.
That I saw way back in the day at the backyard.
Oh.
So that'll show you.
311 at the backyard.
Good show.
That's kind of like your...
Who are they with? Modest Mouse or Modest Monkey?
Modest Yahoo is who it was.
Modest
I was
Yahoo.
At that show as well, but you and Major were hanging out backstage.
God.
I remember 311, though.
Fantastic. All right. We good? We good with Mitch? Or are we about to get Mitch?
Have you tweeted out his article yet? I want to make sure we tweet out the new article that he has out on Forbes before we...
Oh, I got you. Okay, I will do that.
Would you want a modest chimp
we'll get that
or
done.
Like a cocky chimp?
That's a great question.
Well, didn't everyone as a kid want a pet chimp?
No. It was just Michael Jackson. I didn't want that.
Really?
No, I like dogs. They're perfectly dumb.
Okay.
They're the right kind of dumb for me.
Right. Now, the band's
Chimps
name...
Chimps are too smart, man. I don't want that.
The band's name is Modest Mouse. You definitely want a modest mouse versus a brash mouse.
Yes. Yeah. I tell you what, I met some cocky rats, though, in New York.
I bet you did.
Those rats...
The ones that would steal pizza?
Look at Trey's eyes right now. Like,
dude, the first
they scared you.
5 minutes that I was in New York, I just dropped my stuff off at Kevin's. We were leaving to go grab a late meal. Literally within like 100 steps of his front door, a pack of teenagers hit us up for weed, asking if we wanted to buy weed.
There was, check.
garbage all over the sidewalk, and then a rat just ran out in front of us. I was like, yep, I'm in New York now.
Welcome.
If you want to check out the article we were referencing there, Mitch Lawrence of Forbes magazine, Sporting News, and SiriusXM is about to join us. The title of the article, it's of course about the Jimmy Butler thing. With top target Jimmy Butler traded to Minnesota, the Celtics make a push for Paul George. Paul now would be the next discussion
right
after Jimmy Butler's changes. I'm hoping, and we'll ask Mitch if he knows anything, the one thing I haven't heard, Kevin, is how does Jimmy Butler feel? Has he tweeted? Have we got any reaction from him? Because I haven't seen it.
I think he wants to get out of the chaos that that organization is right now. I mean, who'd want to play in their aging years with Dwayne Wade and Rondo?
Yeah, I would hope so.
You know, I mean, there's, I don't know, a lot of questions about Gar Foreman and what's going on there.
Yeah, we'll start with that. Let's go to the Bob Steak and Chop House hotline and bring in Mitch Lawrence, at Mitch_Lawrence on Twitter. And we mentioned we just tweeted out the story from Forbes magazine on the Jimmy Butler move. Mitch, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you today?
Good.
Doing very well. Let's start with Jimmy Butler and the thing I was just bringing up. I have not heard his reaction yet. If he's into this move, this could really be interesting in Minnesota. Do we know if Jimmy Butler's on board with this yet?
I don't know myself, but I assume he would be because the Bulls want to rebuild. He didn't want to be in a rebuilding situation. So you go play for Tom Thibodeau. He had a lot of success under Tom as he developed. So he goes up there to Minnesota and he plays with Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. And he can see that they probably got, you know, a lot of potential there. He knows the coach. He knows what the coach wants. I'm sure that Tom brought him in to help sell his program, continue to do that with the young star. So, yeah, I think he would probably be on board with it, sure. Yeah.
It always felt like, as a Bulls fan, that the organization didn't respect Jimmy enough and respect his talent enough, whether it was contract or other stuff. Is there anything to that?
He's working on a big contract right around. What do you mean, earlier?
Yeah, earlier.
Well, I don't, you know, that I'm not sitting in Chicago. I don't know. You know, for my money, Jimmy Butler's a very good player. I don't consider him a superstar.
Okay.
He's kind of, to me, a kind of a borderline star. He's a very good two-way player. He's making a ton of money. I know he's got 2 or 3 years left at $50-plus million. I don't know the exact figures, but, you know, hey, these teams, they decide. They probably should have. Now, they tried to trade Jimmy, you know, last year at the same type of thing at draft day.
Right.
And he's been rumored to be going to Boston. If your objection is, you know, players shouldn't have their names thrown out, it's part of the business. They're all big guys. They know it's a business. They know as soon as you sign a contract, you can be traded. I remember years ago, we were up at Knicks practice. Jeff Van Gundy was coaching. It was right around the trade deadline. And all these people were asking Jeff Van Gundy, could this guy be traded? Could that be? Finally, he looked up. He goes, guys, only Shaquille O'Neal's untradeable. He's the only guy in the league that's untradeable. Everybody's traded. And you know what? They all know that going in. So I don't feel bad for Jimmy Butler. I think it's great for him that he got out of there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Chicago's kind of a it's a different place with their front office.
Yeah.
You know, with Foreman and Paxson. You saw what Jimmy Butler's trainer tweeted out about that. That could be because, you know, a lot of these teams don't want trainers hanging around. So I don't know what the background is on that. But I think it's a fresh start for Jimmy. Now, going from the East to the West, it's not going to be real easy for him. Going to a team like Minnesota that's on the way up, you got a lot of climbing to do. So we'll see on that. But he's still young enough. He'll probably embrace the challenge. Yep.
So where is Chicago going? What's going on with that organization?
Total rebuilding. All right. Total rebuild. Now everybody's outraged they didn't get enough. Anytime you trade a guy like Jimmy Butler, you're not going to get 100 cents on the dollar. So, you know, they think that the key for them is Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine was really in a breakout year until he blew out his knee. You know, he's just beyond now being this dunk champion, the dunk contest champ. He could have a real big career going forward. Now, you know, we'll see what happens off this ACL. But the Bulls decided last year with Dwayne Wade and Rondo and Jimmy Butler, it got them all of, what, seventh place? So they're of the mindset, we got to rebuild. Now, Dwayne Wade might not like it because, you know, he's kind of re-upped. He's going to get, of course, $24 million, and they're not going to buy him out because Jerry Reinsdorf, the owner, does not believe in paying people to walk away and not working. Mm. So it's going to be a transition year. They're going to lose a lot. You know, they're going to have some lottery picks coming up, and they've got to draft well, and they got to, you know, they got to see if Zach LaVine can be the player they think he is. I had an opportunity as I was on my Sirius show today, and Sam Mitchell, who coached Zach LaVine in Minnesota, was on. He said to me, in several years, they're going to be staying in Chicago. Jimmy who? He thinks Zach LaVine's that good. We'll see about that.
He certainly wasn't at dunk contest.
Oh, no, that was special.
I hope he can get back to that.
He's healthy.
Yeah, that level.
Yeah, right. Mitch, right. He's a tremendous, you know, he's got a great work ethic. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's now committed to being a better basketball player, not just a sideshow winning the dunk contest. He's really embraced that. So that's who the Bulls want to build around.
Good to hear.
Mitch Lawrence, Sporting News, Forbes Magazine, SiriusXM, joining us. We mentioned the article on Forbes.com today. We tweeted it out, so definitely check it out on Twitter today. Mitch, let's talk about Paul George. It feels like from all these different stories, Paul George is talking to more people than LaVar Ball. Give us the latest on who's interested in Paul George.
Excuse me. Well, look, the Lakers want Paul George. Paul George is a guy who grew up rooting for Kobe Bryant. We all think he's going to end up in L.A. But, you know, the Celtics are there, and the Celtics are going to try to convince him to come there and re-up, and they're going to have to make a deal with Indiana. They were talking last night. Of course, the talk stalled, but you know what? That doesn't mean anything. These talks get revisited, just like Chicago and Minnesota got revisited. I think you'll see Indiana get revisited with Boston. I don't know if the Celtics can pull off the deal, but they're obviously interested in bringing in Gordon Hayward and Paul George. And Paul George, you know, we'll have to see what happens. You know, I think a lot of people felt as soon as Paul George, you know, announced through his people that this was going to be his last year in Indiana, a lot of people were like, well, Indiana's not going to get anything for him. If Indiana can, you know, has Boston trying to get him with the Lakers, they might end up with a pretty decent package. We'll see.
Mitch Lawrence joining us here. You can check out his stuff at Forbes.com. Obviously, a lot of San Antonio Spurs fans listening, Mitch, and some rumors, at least reports, that Danny Green may have been available, and then more importantly, LaMarcus Aldridge. We've talked about if that's a right. good fit or not with that system. What are you hearing about that, and where does San Antonio go from here?
Well, it's interesting that LaMarcus Aldridge's name came up. The Spurs, you know, they're not going to tell you, but obviously I think they're probably trying to move him. Just, you know, it's weird. It just doesn't look like a very good fit. And, you know, I think the word around the league, people are looking at LaMarcus Aldridge saying, well, if you don't think you fit in with the Spurs, what does that say about you? That's a pretty heavy statement to make, but
yeah.
That's the God's honest truth, because the Spurs are viewed as the ideal culture. It's all about winning. It's all about team. It's not about the individual. And if you feel like you don't want to be there, which is kind of what you're hearing LaMarcus Aldridge or his people telling people, then that's a poor reflection on the player. And so I think some teams are already looking at it as like, well, why would we be interested in this guy if he wouldn't even embrace what the Spurs do? And they're like the model franchise. They're the gold standard. So that has to be hashed out. I'm not surprised to hear about Danny Green. You know, you're hearing all kinds of interesting rumblings about the Spurs with free agency coming up and Chris Paul and how they're going to revamp their team, try to maybe George Hill, if not Chris Paul. We all know George Hill has a history there with Popovich and those guys. He started out there in his career before going to Indiana. So there's a lot going on with the Spurs. They got a lot of moves to make. They got to somehow close that gap with the Warriors. But, yeah, this LaMarcus Aldridge thing is going to be very interesting to see who decides to trade for him and if the Spurs pull the trigger.
Mitch, you mentioned Chris Paul. We talked to somebody from L.A. the other day who kind of sounded like they were leaning towards Chris Paul staying in L.A.
Yeah.
From a national perspective, are you hearing the same thing? Do you think he's going to stick, or would you tell a Spurs fan or Rockets fan or whoever it is that they may have a shot?
Well, it's interesting. A few months ago, I reported that it looked like he had given an approval to, or at least the Clippers, and he had some sort of an unofficial agreement on a, you know, $200+ million deal, which is, you know, considerable money, 207, a supermax contract for Chris Paul. And then you start hearing, well, maybe it's the Spurs, maybe it's the Rockets. So who knows? I think he'll be available July 1st. I think he's going to talk to people. I think he'll probably talk to people still knowing that he has that deal in his back pocket. But, you know, it now makes the point guard situation very intriguing, because if you rank, there are a lot of very good and great free agent point guards. You know, it starts with Steph Curry. He's not going anywhere. And you got guys like Chris Paul, Kyle Lowry, George Hill, Jeff Teague, Drew Holiday. This is a very, very good, you know, then you have the, you know, Derrick Rose is in your Darren Williams. But there's 10 or 11 guys right there. Chris Paul's probably second. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a very suspenseful time, especially for the Clippers, because, you know, the Clippers don't want to lose him. Because if you lose a point guard of Chris Paul's ability, that really knocks you down. Because this is still, I know the Warriors do it with, you know, long, big, you know, perimeter guys, but for the most part, all these teams are looking for, how can we upgrade our point guard position? We saw it here in New York last night. They drafted a point guard. Dallas finally drafted a point guard in Dennis Smith Jr. Obviously, Lonzo Ball, De'Aaron Fox, Markelle Fultz. You know what, guys? This is the number one position in the league. So yeah, if the Clippers were to lose Chris Paul, it'd be a huge blow. Yep.
Speaking of the Mavs, a couple guys. I'm not even going to try, Frank, the last name. But what'd you take for the night?
Telekane. I think his name is Telekane. That's what I've been calling
him. Okay, all right.
Somebody told me it was Frank. I guess call him Frank from France.
Yeah, there you go.
French Frank. What'd you take from their night, though?
Well, I don't, you know, Phil Jackson is enamored of European players because he doesn't like guys who grow up in AAU ball who it's all about, you know, hero ball. He likes team-oriented players, and he feels like guys like Porzingis, who he's got a little bit of problems with now, but the way Porzingis plays and this kid from France, those are the type of players you want to embrace the triangle in team basketball. And it's a harder sell to maybe have a Dennis Smith Jr. from North Carolina State, who's the focal point of his college team, come in and all of a sudden in the triangle as a point guard, the first thing is you pass the ball to the middle and you run to the corner and you stand there. A lot of guys don't want to play in that.
Talking with Mitch Lawrence, Sporting News, Forbes Magazine, Sirius XM, tweeted out that article that he's got on the whole Jimmy Butler situation. What does that mean for Paul George? Mitch, last one from me. I wanted to ask you about Lonzo Ball. Last night, I guess people could hear LeVar Ball's comments about the Lakers going to the playoffs and think it's silly.
Yes.
But the eighth seed in the West was 41-41, and the Lakers were only 15 games off of that pace. So give me an idea. Give me an idea. Yeah, but I mean, in this NBA, are they that far away? Is it that crazy what LeVar Ball said last night?
Yeah, I think it's pretty crazy still.
Okay.
I mean, look, now, I haven't looked at all the West. I've constantly, you know, the Eastern, we've had a couple of teams in the East that have, Chicago and Indiana are basically rebuilding, so seventh and eighth places are up for grabs if anybody wants it. But out West, you know, Minnesota's going to be a playoff team, it looks like.
Yeah.
Everybody thought last year going in, I didn't have them rated. I knew in the first year with Tom there'd be a lot of growing pains, and they didn't make it. And so, but you figure with the addition of Jimmy Butler, they should make it, or they should be contending for a playoff spot. Look, you're going to have Lonzo Ball. You're going to have Brandon Ingram. D'Angelo Russell is gone. Julius, I mean, he's going to make them better. What people love about Lonzo Ball is he makes his players around him better. He's all about the team. He's that type of point guard. He's a leader. He's got great vision. And you know what? Players are going to play better with him. The offense is going to be fine. Does that translate into what Daddy said? I don't know if father knows best in this situation.
You said a mouthful there.
Mitch, before we let you go here, some talk on the telecast last night, and we've talked with you about it, so we're not going to get into it too much, but about the one and done and just where basketball is headed with college basketball and pro basketball. That seems to be a very fluid situation. What are you hearing from the insiders?
Well, you know, not a lot. I mean, it's a lot of it is now Coach K has come up with a plan where, what, you could come in from high school, but if you don't, and you'd have to go to college for 2 years. And I don't know. It's still a big topic of debate. The good thing is that Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, and Michelle Roberts, the head of the players' union, I think they have these informal talks now and again to try to hash things out. I don't know what the situation is. All I know is I've stated to you guys before, I wish players would stay 3 or 4 years. The pros don't like it. They want to get kids who are 19. You saw last night, what, 16 freshmen out of the first 10 or 11 picks, they're all freshmen.
Yep.
Only two seniors, you know, whatever. So that's the way these pros want it. They, you know, everybody's excited in Chicago about, well, Chris Dunn, you know, we'll see what kind of point guard. Is he like 23 or 24? He's not that much younger than Jimmy Butler.
Right.
He's like 26. So you want to get a 19-year-old kid. So you want to get Lonzo Ball. And the players want to come in early because they can make a lot of money and get their second and third contracts and on and on and on. So I don't know what the situation – I don't know. I really don't know what the solution is. I don't know if we'll have a good solution or not, but it's definitely still a point out there to be debated.
That's Mitch Lawrence. Check out the great article today at Forbes.com on the big trade last night with Jimmy Butler and what that means. Sporting News, Sirius XM as well. Mitch, we know it's a busy time for you. Thank you, sir, and get some rest now. Do you get a chance to take time off? What happens now?
No, we're going right into free agency, boy.
Oh, that's right.
Free agency.
The man's league now, right?
All right. Well, then,
we'll talk to you later.
All right. Get yourself a power nap and then jump back in. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Mitch Lawrence. Sporting News, Forbes Magazine, Sirius XM, at Mitch_Lawrence, the Jimmy Butler story and what it means for everybody else. It
made me feel better about LaVine because I just had Dunker knee.
Oh, if he can come
super
back.
Super athlete knee. But if he's matured and taking in other parts of his game seriously, then there's clearly a lot of talent there.
The thing I would ask any Bulls fan today is if you believe in the veteran theory of basketball, who the heck are the veterans that are going to help those kids out? Who is it?
Hopefully Wade. I mean,
what's left of Dwayne Wade.
Ouch. And if he can.
Maybe.
I said, ouch.
Yeah, I know. I know.
The thought
Rondo can show him how to put on eyeliner,
right?
Mascara before you play, so it doesn't run too much.
We all know what Rondo can be. And then the talk now is that Dwayne Wade may just force them to buy him out. So hopefully that won't happen. But yeah, I have no idea what's going to go on.
Mitch was
team.
A lot more bullish, and pun intended,
that's
on them
good,
than
no,
anyone
right.
I've talked to. So he knows a lot, so
yeah,
he's wired in.
Thanks to Mitch for his time. Coming up, we'll get you a little more for this hour. Obviously, we'll keep you up to date on the game in Omaha. LSU up 2-1 on Oregon State. They are in the bottom of the fifth. We'll get you one more update on that this hour. Plus, we'll talk some football. We're only 71 days from Texas and Maryland. You'll hear the game right here on the Horn. Chad and Kevin with you on a Friday. Hope your weekend's off to a good start, and I hope you're fully hydrated and you have some shade. High of 102 today. 102. Cold front coming tomorrow. High of 92 for your Saturday. 50% chance of rain in some parts.
It's not bad.
Not bad. LSU's up 2-1 on Oregon State. Bottom of the fifth. Oregon State trying to come back there. More new stuff, Trey, from 311? This doesn't sound like 311.
Yeah, it does. This is 311.
This is a little bit more 311. Next hour, we'll shift to another new music artist.
Very nice. It just doesn't sound like 311 to me, but I like it. Good sound, though. Very cool.
I like 311.
Yeah, I've been writing down band names I got to check out. Tonight is going to be my child has a friend sleeping over, so I'm just going to be kind of in, be in the house, but can't really go out and do anything mode.
Okay.
So that means probably going to get on iTunes for a while and go check some stuff out.
Nice.
Going to go check out some Killers. I'm going to go check out some Tina Turner stuff I just found out about where she covers country music.
Whoa.
And I may check out some 311.
Do you bother them at all?
No, not unless they need me to.
Okay.
I mean, at that age.
Need you to?
Well,
if they need something.
If they need something,
yeah.
Or, you know me, I'm a little more of a silly dad. So if they need like a weird voice or some strange thing, or somebody needs to be like picked up to unscrew a light bulb or something weird, I can help you out. What do you need?
Sounds weird to me.
Need a ladder? I got ladders. I got different size ladders. Whatever you need. Oh, and by the way, restocked and reset the old mousetraps today. Thought of you. Because I saw a big mouse out there today when I was mowing the lawn, and I thought, well, we better reset. So I took some bread.
You killed them all.
I thought I did too. I'm up to around 20 or so since I set them back in January or February. But I'm telling you, this bad boy was big. It was a nice, I don't know, what is that?
Why don't you fix whatever they're going in to get? Why don't you take that out? Because I think, because they're not going into anyone else's houses, are they?
Well,
there can't be that many.
Again, we're not in the house. This is back and forth between like wood pile and the ladders and stuff like that.
Okay.
The wood pile probably needs to be dealt with. I understand that.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
I understand. But while that's going on, I can't let them have a party. So
yeah.
we trailed some bread.
It's been going on for a little while, though, now.
Yeah, we trailed some bread to the trap. We'll see what happens.
Been going on for a little while.
I don't want them to die, Kevin. I don't.
Well, then why are you setting traps?
I want them to die if they need to die. That's very different.
Wow.
Very. I want them to stay away from the area of the traps. But if they get there,
that sounds psychotic.
It's got to happen. All right. So we'll keep you up to date on the game in Omaha. Obviously, we're talking NBA draft. Got some different, obviously, a lot of stuff is going to be happening from now till free agency. How about this, Spurs fans? Tweet coming out right now. Cavs and Spurs talks previously centered on Danny Green now also include LaMarcus Aldridge. League sources are telling, this is Sam Amico at Amico Hoops on Twitter. So believe that for what you will. Cavs and Spurs, LaMarcus Aldridge to Cleveland. Interesting.
Why would you want another Longhorn big guy who folds in the big moment?
Be the third Fruity Four.
And there you have it. 4 o'clock hour coming up. Plus, we are 71 days away from Texas and Maryland. We'll fit in some college football on the Horn.